Hello and welcome to the MFC podcast. Tonight we've got two games to look back on. Defeat in the Cup against Dundee, our first league victory of the season against Livingston on Saturday. There's one new arrival at Fir Park this week, and we'll see what else takes a fancy over the next three quarters of an hour or so. How you going, mate?
Hi, all good. It's always good to start talking about a victory.
Yeah, certainly. And part of the reason we didn't record last week is because we didn't have a great deal of positive things to talk about, but we'll start and we'll focus on our first league victory of the season against Livingston at the Tony Macaroni on Saturday. 1-0 down at half time. I think the knives were out for a few. The negativity seemed to be building and there was a wee bit of worry in the camp, despite the fact I thought we played quite well in the first half. Into the second half, Tony Watt equalises early doors. And then a first career goal for Liam Grimshaw to win it with 11 minutes remaining. A massive moment for Liam Grimshaw, a massive moment for the supporters, and a massive moment for Graham Alexander as well, mate, because that really was a turning point. And you now look at a start to the season. Yes, we lost to Hibs on the opening day, but we went to McDermott Park and got a good point. We've come back from behind to beat Livingston, a notorious tough place to go. We're sitting all right going into this game against Dundee on Saturday.
No, I totally agree. I mean, I think in every game this season, we've had opportunities to win the game and we've not taken our chances. And even on Saturday, I still think that we could have won by more. When if you think of the main chance that I think about is the Kane Woolrey one where he's almost identical position to what he was against Hibs. But there was a fair bit of negativity, and I think that that's overemphasised now because of the half-time social media checks when you see what your fellow fans are saying. And you can understand it because although the performance probably wasn't the worst that we've ever seen, it was almost like the same old story that we leaked a goal. Ricky Lamy kind of chasing his tail a wee bit, and I'm going to say it was a soft goal, but I kind of felt as if it kind of trickled in a wee bit. That being said, they came out in the second half and they really did. There was only really one team going to win it. Tony Watt with a kind of inspired second half performance, but Grimshaw, his energy in the middle of the park, as everybody says about Liam Grimshaw, he's not the most technically gifted player, but it was great to see him. He's obviously a fan's favourite. I have to admit, going to the travelling up to the game and when I heard the team, I was like, you know what I mean? You've got all these kind of permutations going in your head, different formations, and the last thing that I thought was McGabby was going to come out right back, but he did all right. I wouldn't like to see him there all season, but he did all right. And then as we've said, the result was nothing more than it was deserved. It was great to get our first victory of the season, and you've then got to use that to go and win on Saturday with another kind of option in the middle of the park. It just goes to show though that what the manager says at his press conference on a Friday, they're as well just scrapping them. Obviously this while we've got the same squad and then Maguire and Donnelly aren't even on the bench. So clearly he doesn't like to give anything away at all, which is understandable. But when you go on a Saturday now, you just don't know what the team formation, etc. is going to be.
It also lets you know about the moving parts in this situation in this season with Motherwell, doesn't it? Because you're 1-0 down at half time. The previous week, you've been knocked out the cup. And for all the last time we recorded, we were really positive because we had went to McDermott Park, got a good point. We thought we had a run of what looked to be winnable games, a possibility of a cup quarter final up for grabs. And then you go out and you really perform badly against Dundee. You're a goal down at half time at Livy, a team that were without a point. And suddenly the negativity's back up and running again. But to turn it around in the second 45 minutes, suddenly we're not getting relegated. Suddenly everything's going to be all right again. It's a season that, despite the fact it's only three league games old, it does seem to constantly have many twists and turns in it so far.
Yeah, but I think there's a few other factors in relation to the negativity. And I've been thinking about this in the build-up to his recording tonight. I think that there's wee factors that probably make the whole negative, the whole conclusion of negativity toward the end of it. And I think some of them are is what I'm going to speak about now is, for example, the corners. I've never ever known corners to be habitually taken the way that they're taken. And at the end of the day, we've scored a couple of goals for them this season. Obviously, very similar type goals from Tony Watt being on the end of both of them. So they're clearly working that in the training. But it is quite frustrating to sit there and watch it. You just want them to whip it into the box at times. Particularly against Dundee, it was shocking. The change in tactic, where at the end of the game, we were virtually playing with five centre-halves, Craig Levine-esque. And then obviously, as not get the performance against Dundee, a couple of the signings maybe haven't come off with the way that we wanted. So I think all these wee factors have been probably bubbling away. And the only thing that's going to take it away is kind of commanding performances or victories on the park. There is still some doubts. Excuse me. There is some doubts still held with the manager. You can feel that with the support through social media. I'm still relatively positive. As I said, we'll give him until the end of the window and a couple of weeks into it, because we've virtually got a brand new side, and we don't know what's going on behind the doors with COVID and stuff like that. So at the end of the day, we've won one, drew one, and lost one. For me, it's a decent start, and hopefully things will improve as we go forward.
I know I touched on it a wee bit earlier on, but that moment for Liam Grimshaw, I had the opportunity to speak to him for the programme for Saturday. And you could tell that it just really meant a lot to him. He was quick to emphasise, though, that he moves on and his next target's just making sure that he plays well against Dundee. But it just felt like a real high point. In fact, I would say it's been the highest point since fans' return. Seeing a player that is such a fan favourite finally get that monkey off his back and that first goal. He's also very much in the right place at the right time. He continues his run after Tony Watt has a go. Kind of striker's instinct there in the hope that the goalkeeper spills it. And sure enough, he did. And he's there just to tuck the ball home and then go, as he described it, berserk.
I think the good thing as well is, for our point of view, is obviously it was a great selection for the sponsor, Andy P's shirt this year, which was one of the first things that I thought of, certainly when he'd scored. The irony of playing in the midfield and then popping up and scoring. So it was it's obviously quite nice for as the podcast to have got the money to sponsor Grimmy's shirt. And you're right, I mean, he has a total fan's favourite. It's just when he scored, I was like, I don't know why I thought it was going to be offside or whatever, but you could see the total joy, not just in his face, but look at the way that the team celebrated. So he's obviously a real character around the squad, and it was just great to be there and see it. I'd have been gutted if I had decided it was kind of last minute, because I was a wee bit bitter about the pricing of the game, and I wasn't going to go, but with the easiness of getting tickets online and stuff like that, I kind of done it on Friday night and thought, well, I might as well go. But it was worth every penny in the end. But I do think that the £25 expected of fans is ridiculous, but we did go in no bad numbers. And I'm glad that we did, because it's great to see Grimmy coming back to first team football. When reading the article, the battle that he went through, so it was fully deserved.
Yeah, it's been a long road to recovery for him, and certainly one that's ended with what I thought was a good performance against Dundee when he came back in, and then he's again put in a real shift in the following game and got his first goal as well. So a very welcome return. We'll talk about that Dundee game. Now, you mentioned earlier on the fact that the team from the Livingston game took you by surprise. Well, this game, it actually put me in a pretty bad mood before the game had even kicked off. A lot of changes from Graham Alexander, and most of them backfired, to be perfectly honest. It was almost as if we were playing a sort of second string side, and Dundee thoroughly deserved their win over the course of the 90 minutes. You could almost kind of see what was coming, and sure enough, with 10 minutes to go, we lose a goal from a set piece. A really frustrating afternoon. A place that we had a very good record at, and we should have been going in full of confidence. Dundee wouldn't have fancied Motherwell coming to Dens Park, but really they got one of the most straightforward victories of the season.
The thing that frustrated me the most was that obviously Tony Watt had been on the bench against St Johnstone, and as far as I'm led to believe, there wasn't any injury. He comes on and he could have won us the game with the chance that he managed to put away against St Johnstone in Perth. So with Van Veen out injured again, really surprised that we didn't hear anything about that. For Tony Watt to still be on the bench, I just couldn't fathom it. And then when you're sitting in that horrible stand that we were in, seeing Stevie Lawless playing as a number nine, as a centre forward, I just couldn't get it at all. I also feel as if I wasn't overly impressed with Ojala over the course of the two games. But at the end of the day, I'm not going to write him off after a couple of games. But you're 100% right. I just couldn't fathom the selection. But in seeing that in the first half, Conor Shields has got a great chance to bury that, and it hits the bar. I think you've used this analogy a couple of times, using kind of a Alex Fisher, Jordan White. And you just hope that Conor Shields kind of gets off the mark pretty soon, so that he doesn't become the next one down that line. But end of the day, I'd kind of said to you at the last time we were recording that I felt as if he was going to shake up the team a wee bit, just to get a look at players that he's not really had a chance to see, and maybe didn't he? I don't really think that he's got much time for the League Cup. Just with his interviews and stuff, the way that even complaining about the games early on, and I kind of back my point up with that with his team selection. It is a bit shit when you're travelling up to Dundee and you need the team again, and you're like, every week it seems to be that you're huffing and puffing before you're even at the game. But at the end of the day, we can only go on the last performance. And as far as I'm concerned, I've deleted that kind of afternoon in Dundee at my mind.
I completely appreciate that. I really do. But I do believe that we only get two opportunities to win anything at Motherwell, and the League Cup is one of those. You beat Dundee at Dens and you're into the last eight. It's easy to kind of go on ifs and buts. But Dundee then drew St Johnstone at home in the quarterfinal. If we drew St Johnstone at home, you'd be looking at that and going, it's an opportunity for a semi-final. Of course, St Johnstone are cup holders in both competitions, but you would still believe that was a winnable tie. It's just so frustrating that the manager didn't seem to share these thoughts. Now, don't get me wrong, you might have thought that the team that he put out was good enough to beat Dundee. Arguably, if Conor Shields takes his chance in the first half, the game could have taken a whole different direction, but it didn't. Shields, I don't quite know how he manages to rattle the ball that hard from that distance. I don't think it was necessary in the slightest. He's got to score. But it's just it wasn't a game for trialing things out. There's clearly been games behind closed doors and bounce games to try and get the players up to speed that have been injured or they've had to isolate and such like. Try things in these games. Do not try it in a cup tie where you've taken 1,000 supporters up to back you that have spent good money and looked forward to it all week. It was just a very, very disappointing approach and one that we got exactly what we deserved for.
I think the first half, the game was pretty well balanced. I just think we didn't come out in the second half at all. Even when we brought on Tony Watt, when the kind of fans were singing for Tony Watt, I don't think that I don't know if the manager. I don't think we can blame the manager totally for it, because at the end of the day, it's the players on the pitch. I think for me, I was kind of my hand was in my head was in my hand when, as I said, when Lawless is playing at number nine, I'm thinking we're never going to get in out of this game. And then when Shields hits the bar, it's just one of the days. But for me, I've always said, oh, don't get me wrong, if you said to me you should win the League Cup, I'd be absolutely delighted. But for me, I don't get the same kind of a passion as what I do in the Scottish Cup. Now, whether that's me just being a wee bit bittersweet, I don't know. But listen, it's a new team bedding in. Let's just cut them a wee bit of slack. I get what you're saying, but the League Cup for me, it's an earner and stuff like that. But I would rather have a run in the Scottish Cup. That's the way that I can compute it in my mind.
No, that's fair. I still think that it's especially at a time where I would say that the manager's still in the process of trying to win the supporters over, though. I think his understanding of the importance of that was a bit misguided. I think that it was a massive setback. And you could tell by the reaction to the following game. And let's not use Twitter as a barometer, but I think we would have taken a lot more up. Yes, it was £25, but I think that we would have taken a lot more had we got a positive result and the momentum was starting to show on the back of a cup win, a point at McDermott. I think that you would have had more fans at Livingston on Saturday. But he's got a result, and time again, during his time at Motherwell, I think he picks up a big win when he needs it, and that can't be a bad habit to have.
No, I think you're 100% right. With regards to, possibly underestimating it, and there is a fair bit of negativity, and I think it's not just about the style of play. There's all these wee different things that he's bringing into the club. Now, we've probably had quite similar. Steve Robinson's been at the club for so long, whether it be in a assistant role, manager's role, and we've had kind of had all the kind of same. And what we all said was it was really stale, and we needed a change and a freshen up. Now, that's not going to happen overnight. I keep on harping back to these corners because they're, don't get me wrong, they're frustrating the life out of me as well. But that's what he believes, and you've got to let it run its course. Let us see where we are in a few weeks. But what I don't, I'm never going to say just now, oh, I don't like him, or I'm not going to argue with anybody who says, obviously, basically, I'm sitting on the fence with him just now, because I think he's got to at least be given until kind of Christmas time, and then we can judge him, because it will be his own team, he'll have things in place. There's a couple of comments again using Twitter that said, I think he'll be out the door by end of September or Christmas. I think that's. I really kind of see that happening. Yes, sometimes the style of play isn't great, but you've just said it there. He seems to have a knack at winning a game. Yes, it's not pretty. He's sitting and watches with five, six defenders on but for the last couple of minutes when we've controlled the game. But how many times have you been to a Motherwell game and we've lost a last minute goal and threw away a couple of points. That must just be the way that he's doing it, and it's his way. And he'll only be judged by the points that he gets on the board. And if you look at the amount of points that he's had on the board for your game, his ratio is pretty good.
No, arguing the fact of the matter is, in terms of Alexander, if Motherwell were to be knee-jerk and dismiss the manager on the back of a cup defeat, for instance, or starting the season with 4 points from a possible nine, then it would be the most ludicrous decision that had ever taken place at the club. It just would make absolutely no sense. That the first season, or the first full season for Graham Alexander, is going to be what he's judged upon. The back end of last season, at times it wasn't pretty. At times it was downright awful to watch. But he came in with one objective, and that was to keep Motherwell in the league. He did that. He did it with a bit of room to spare as well. So, really, if you're a higher up at Motherwell and you're judging the manager, you're possibly looking at these objectives and he's ticking them off. It might not be doing it in style. It might be the case that some of the guys that are coming in aren't...
Let's jump in, Andy. Right, see all this talk it's not pretty to watch. When was the last time that we had a full season where it was pretty to watch? I'm thinking about that off the cuff just now. The only thing that I can really think of is the season with Mark McGee. If you go before that, you're Tommy McLean and we're finishing second. There's never been a time in my time at Motherwell, supporting Motherwell, and I've supported Motherwell for 30 odd years, that I can say that the football has been brilliant. I can't look at any other SPL club that say the football's great. Football's a result-driven business. I'd be wanting to go and see the nice passing, free-flowing football, but we've got to understand where we are. And sometimes, if he sees that as a way to manage a game and win a game, then let him try it.
Again, there's no complaints for me with what you're saying. The point on, I think we've had spells in many seasons where we've played good football. And I think that at times it's very easy when you're getting beat to then start claiming that if you were being entertained, then you'd be much happier, when I don't really think that's the case. I think that quite a lot is like shithousing a 1-0 victory or a 2-1 at Livingston or something like that. That's quite a pleasing way to win a football match. The fact is that last season throughout was just a very, very hard watch. And that was for a multitude of circumstances as well, because you were watching it on a computer screen for the best part. There was a lot of connectivity issues. It just wasn't what you really wanted. And coupled with the fact that the results weren't going very well either. So it was just all in all, a bit of a disaster. But I think that the entertainment factor comes out quite a bit. And that is something that's levelled against... It was levelled against Stephen Robinson, and it's also been levelled against Graham Alexander. I do get exactly what you're saying, but I would counter it with that.
But see, the thing is, though, if you look back to the start of last season, always remember, I think our first victory was against St Johnston. And even in that game, we hardly created anything. So if you look at the amount of chances that we've created throughout every game that we've played, we've probably created enough chances to win five or six games. So I don't really know what else that we can expect. I personally only judge it on the result at the end of the game. I didn't think it was a brilliant game on Saturday, but we managed it well and we got the victory. I think we'll go and beat Dundee on Saturday, and I think we'll do it convincingly. And then you can look at the league table and look at the start, and I think by that point things will start, the positivity will start to come. Bearing in mind we have quite a few injuries and stuff like that at the start of the season, we're better than any team. Obviously they think they're on midfielder tonight. I think that's been a real problem, the kind of the flatness of the midfield. That's also been the case in other games as well, and it's just not clicked in. So overall, I think things are going to be going up. It's going to be positive, and hopefully it'll start on Saturday.
We'll look ahead to Saturday, and then we'll talk about the signing earlier on today of Sean Goss. Dundee, the visitors to Fir Park on Saturday, it's been a while since they beat us in league action, that's for sure. Though they will be buoyed by the fact that they got that result in the cup game. Pepe, it's one that you look at in the fixture list, and you're normally quite good at identifying the games ahead of it that you'll look at. They definitely come under the bracket. Dundee is one that, when you're playing them at Fir Park, you expect to get a positive result.
As you said, you look at your fixture list, and this is the one that you would almost call a banker, right for the start. And I really can't see anything other than us going on and getting a really good performance victory and starting to get everything a bit more positive around the place. As I said earlier on, I've got no idea what the team's going to be, but having seen Dundee at Dens Park, I wasn't overly impressed. They've got, obviously, they're two central players, although I heard on the way home that Ashcroft, the goal scorer, was our player of the year in the championship the year before. But Fontaine, for me, he reads the game well, but he's so slow, it's unbelievable. I just think you've got far too much. Charlie Adam can still pull the strings a wee bit, and he's still got some nice touches. If you look at the two squads, I really can't see anything other than a Millerwell win, and I think it will be a kind of a 3-0, something like that. I really do. I think this is a time where we'll get a really good performance. Tony Watt's starting to know where the back of the net is. Hopefully Van Veen will be back. You've got Woolrey, who's still to fire on all cylinders. So hopefully everything just clicks into place. And I think it'll be Saturday, because I'm not going to be there on Saturday. And usually what happens is that it's the best game of the season that I miss.
Mentioned earlier, should we win this game, we move on to 7 points from a possible 12. I'd say that when you looked at these first four fixtures, seven points would be probably about what a realistic supporter would aim for. Hibs at Fir Park, always a tough game. St Johnstone away, another tough game. Livingston. So, in a bad run of form, you could get beaten all three of these games, and then you're going into Dundee, absolutely desperate for points. We've got four already. A home game here. It's been a long time since we've had a victory in front of the fans at Fir Park. The weather's going to be good. I just think it's all set up for a really good day and a good performance. I think that Dundee are there to be got at. I'm hoping that there's an element of revenge in the players' minds as well, in terms of reversing the scoreline from the Premier Sports Cup game. I think we'll give it a good showing here. And then you're going into that international break and a high, which is also important, because you don't have that immediate chance to redeem yourself if you are to lose the game. And Saturday, you've got to kind of dwell on it for a while. I know that Liam Kelly and Stephen O'Donnell will go away with Scotland, but for the rest, it's kind of stewing over it until Aberdeen visit in a fortnight's time. So this is a big one for a number of reasons, but I just think it really is a great opportunity. I don't think it's a gimme by any stretch of the imagination. I thought Dundee were fairly impressive against Hibs on Sunday there. But I think that it is one that we've got to be viewing to take 3 points from. If we've got any aspirations of not being in that cluster at the bottom, I think you want to be pushing for top six or the higher part of the bottom half at least. To do that, you've got to beat Dundee.
I think if we get beat with Dundee, as you say, we're going to the international break, and the negativity will be completely intensified, and it really does put the manager in a really kind of a sticky place. having the so early in the season, and I'm never going to sit here and say that it's make or break, but it is in relation to kind of a positivity. That would be two wins in a row. Whereas if we go and have another shit show against Dundee, the knives really do come out, and then you start looking down the way. I think it could make a massive difference to our season going and winning this, having a couple of weeks off and then coming back in with a real kind of positive mindset, going to get the points. It's not too far that we go to Ibrox, where you can never write that game off. But although I'm not going to be there, I'll hopefully be able to catch a game by hook or by crook. And I'm looking forward to taking Saturday. The squad seems to be shaping up nicely. We clearly sees that the midfield is a problem. I've quite liked the look of Slattery with it. I'm probably doing too much. He's got some nice touches, passes the ball forward. I think he's going to develop into being a really, really good player. Although he's not been brilliant and he's not been poor, he's just been kind of a bang average so far, but I think he's got real good potential. And the midfield has been, I think, a real issue. For us, Maguire and Donnelly are just far too flat. Maguire's got a fair bit of energy about him, but this wasn't cutting it. So again, we've got Hara back now, we've got Grimshaw, we've got Goss, we've got Slattery. I don't know what the situation is with Donnelly or Maguire. So if you look at that, we've got no bad midfield to pick for now. And I think Saturday, as you say, the weather's there, everything's there. Me and you are positive, so you can stick it on that Motherwell will get beat.
We'll talk about the rival, Sean Goss, which was announced at the kind of traditional time earlier on this evening. A player that will be known to Scottish football fans for a loan spell with Rangers 5 or 6 years ago. I've got to hold my hands up, Pepe, and say I can't particularly remember him.
I don't remember him either. I remember him signing because I can remember it being quoted as being a really good signing. I'm pretty sure there was a wee bit of a bad blood with QPR and Rangers. But I don't remember anything about him. Obviously, as everybody else does, done a wee bit of research and seen that he started at Man United and interestingly played alongside Liam Grimshaw and the Manchester United kind of youth set up, reserve, whatever you want to call it. Looked at the kind of the Shrewsbury fans forum, obviously where he was last at. And it gets kind of a not bad references. I don't know what the St Johnson fans thought of him, but sometimes players just need to find a place, and Firth Park seems to be a good place for players that have maybe lost their way a wee bit. And the best example of that is an easy and lazy example, was obviously what. So I hope that he's obviously got something about him, that Man United seen something in him at a young age. And took him through their ranks. So I'm quite hopeful with this. I can't judge him at all on anything other than what I can see in YouTube. So for me, it's a clean slate. It's another midfielder, and hopefully he does well enough that he keeps his place in this side.
I think that's it. There's a few replies to the announcement from Rangers supporters that said that he showed a bit of promise, but perhaps underwhelmed and never really got a proper run of games. So you've just got to hope that this is one that works out. We're now at the point of the transfer window where I think that the guys that maybe thought they would get deals elsewhere are beginning to panic as well. Alan Burrows is quoted on Twitter as saying that hopes to have a couple more in by the close of play on Tuesday. That again is quite encouraging. It tends to be a day that we do business on especially in the January window, it must be said. But if we're getting extra bodies there, we've already spoken quite a lot of depth about the issues that clubs are going to have with quarantine and isolation rules this season, close contacts. So we need depth to our squad. He's got a wee bit of pedigree. He's played at a decent level. Let's just hope that we can kind of improve the career of someone that seems to have lost his way a bit. That's a mantra that we use to try and make the club appeal to others. And I think that'll be how it's been sold to him here. If you come to Motherwell, do a decent job, then there's every possibility that a year or two down the line, you can return down south and play at the level that you once did.
Certainly. I mean, he's hoping to come here and play regular football and hopefully get a move back to the kind of Championship at best in League One. And that kind of fits our model. Do you know what I mean? I think it's wrong because you judge him in his Rangers career. If there's any Rangers fans, I've not seen any of the comments on Twitter. Because at that time, when he signed for Rangers, I mean, they were signing guys like Lee Hodgson and stuff like that. You know what I mean? So we can't really judge his time here. I know that he was at St Johnston as well. As I said, I think he played like six games or something like that. So I can't even say, oh, I'm happy or I'm not. At the end of the day, we were all saying it, particularly against Kinnairdry, the midfield is shocking. And we've went and signed Slattery and Sean Goss. So things, for me, are definitely improving. And hopefully we get to see him on Saturday.
There, I can see that he was actually 6 years ago, including the Man United Champions League squad, to play Wolfsburg. So, yes, it does seem that his career's went a kind of downward trajectory since then, but that's not to say that he's not a young enough guy to turn that around. So, yeah, hopefully, and obviously we wish him the best in his time with Motherwell. And I would imagine that given injury issues and the lack of depth within the midfield, that you'll possibly see him in the squad for Saturday. So hopefully he's ready to make an impact and hit the ground running.
I certainly think it'll be in the squad, unless he's another Mikael Parker, who seems to have disappeared into insignificance. But
it was always going to happen, let's be honest. We're well aware that it just seemed like a signing that we made for the sake of signing someone. So,
but at the same time, though, I think that the manager's tried to say that is new, he's not wanting to sign anybody. He seems to be a big athletic guy, and I don't know when we'll get an opportunity. If we'll get an opportunity to see him, I don't know what the situation is with the kind of under-20s or whatever format that we call it now. Obviously, we withdrew for the whatever cup it's called now. It was Carmel Wafer or Iron Brewer, whatever it was. So I don't know when we'll get an opportunity to actually judge him. One of the signings, though, that has gave me a wee bit of alarm bells, and I hate to do this, and I've already kind of mentioned it, but Ojala looks—he isn't what I thought he was going to be. I thought he was going to be a big, rough and ready defender, but he always looks as if he's on off balance and stuff. So. I don't know, maybe it's just needing game time, but what's your opinion being there?
Shaky. Certainly looks like he could. I think it's a confidence thing as well. I think that he had a rough start to his debut and he never really kind of regained that confidence, but hopefully another 90 minutes against Livingston. Let's face it, he's kind of come up against two fairly physical sides in his first two games, but I would have thought that he would have been capable of handling that a bit better than he has done. There's still the kind of same issues that we've got at the back, where for all that, I think that Ricky Lammy's much improved. I think that we need someone more stable beside him. We ended up with about nine defenders on the park by the end of the game on Saturday. And I think that just kind of showed the magnitude in the manager's mind that we had to hold on and get that result. I don't know, is the honest answer to that. I think it's far too early to kind of make a judgment call there. But I just don't think if you were to get to the stage where you were to pick a pairing or a trio from the centre halves that we've got just now, that you would be very confident in many of them.
But that's the kind of concerning thing. If you look at it, we've got O'Connor, we've got Lamy, Mugabe, Ojala, are all kind of usually going for two places. You can add to that Devine, even McGinley, to an extent. And I struggle to pick anybody. I have to say my first pick would probably be Lamy. Although, if you look at the Dundee game, you mentioned it against Hibs for the Deutsch goal, he seemed to kind of be on his arse before you know it. And that was the same kind of scenario for their goal. If you watch the goal back, he ends up on the floor pretty easily. The goal against Livingston, he seems to be kind of just chasing the ball as if he's a 7-year-old playing fun fours, you know what I mean? So his mistakes seem to be leading to goals, but then for the rest of the game, he is pretty solid. So for me, Lamy's probably been our best, and I have to say that I'd probably just stick with Mugabe then. That would be my probably be my two for Saturday, with O'Donnell and I think also Jake Carroll's been pretty poor for the start of the season. So whether or not McGinley comes back into the left back spot, I don't know. Sorry if I'm going off the whole centre half thing, but just going on to Jake Carroll, turning into a boo boy here, but I feel as if you go to the Hibs game, McGinn had the run of that, his right hand side, but the left hand side, and I felt as if Nicky Devlin had the run of it, and that's where the goal came down, our left hand side on Saturday. I just think he's had a really, really poor start to the season. I'm not saying McGinley's a world beater, but I think he's more defensively astute, and I think that's what we need, especially when we've got an unsettled back four.
Yeah, it will be interesting to see how we go on Saturday. You'd hope that the inclusion of Stephen O'Donnell in the Scotland squad means that Steve Clarke has been told that he'll be ready to play, and if that's the case, then you would expect him to be right back into the starting 11 as a club captain. Now, we don't know the circumstances behind his injury, and your much loved injury page has been popped from the website as well, hasn't it? So we may never know. But yeah, I think that there's still issues that need to be addressed there. But by the same token, you've got to remember that we are talking about guys like O'Connor and Ayala in particular, guys that are very much just bedding into life in Scottish football. So maybe it afforded a wee bit of leeway there. Jake Carroll is an interesting one. I'll answer that one as well while I can. I think he's one of the most erratic members of our defence. I think he's always got a stupid foul in him. When he's got a yellow card, you just know what's going to happen next. He was so, so fortunate not to be sent off against Hibs, because that was a penalty all day long, and it would have been a second yellow card as well. But that's me. I kind of, in my head, there's one or two players where I remember a certain incident, and I find it very difficult to get out of my head, and that's that Ross County game where he picked up two yellow cards in the space of about 4 minutes a couple of years ago, and it subsequently cost us the game. The boy Ross Stewart, oh no, sorry, it was Brian Graham that scored the winner, I'm sure. Used to score for fun against us and nobody else. It just was a real turning point in the game that proved to be very costly. Anyway, we'll wrap this up for this week. I don't think there's much else to cover. I was going to elaborate a wee bit more on and Liam Kelly and Stephen O'Donnell in the Scotland squad, but I think that we can both fairly say that it's deserved for both of them. O'Donnell for his contribution to Scotland over the last couple of years, and then Liam Kelly for his excellent performances between the sticks for the club. Have you got anything else to add?
No, nothing to add. Although I would say that probably Stephen O'Donnell is probably a bit fortunate to be in. It's probably just because of the lack of stability at right back, and he's tried and tested there. Had to laugh at some of the Celtic fans quoting Ralston to get in front of him, who's played all about four or five games and was the worst player ever not so long ago. So it just shows you that football fans have kind of short minds.
Yeah, we're certainly not the only fickle ones. Thanks very much for your time tonight, mate.
Thanks again, Andy. Enjoyed it again.
You've been listening to the MFC podcast. We'll be recording over the course of the international break. Until then, thank you and goodbye.
I am human, oh, I'm feeling half asleep. I am helpless after all. Oh, they're praying for me. They are the only thing that's keeping the lights on. Think of all you've lost.